I want to introduce you to someone who is about to speak at an international symposium. Speakers from around the world. There's one of the chief buyers for McDonald's that's there, also from the USDA. But David Williams is from Kidder Williams. So they are an agri investment consultancy involved with all sorts of different aspects of the business. David, why is it so tough? Are we a bit behind the eight ball in getting Aussie investment in agriculture when we hear this global demand that's just absolutely huge right now?
Well, first of all, I don't think we're behind, but certainly there's a lack of investment by Australian institutions in Australian agriculture. But frankly, from my perspective, I don't really care about that. There's a weight of money that's coming out of Europe, North America, the Arab countries and Asia into agriculture here. And I think the Australian institutions just don't see the rates of return that some of the offshore funds are happy to take.
And why is that? What's the difference in opinion in risk profile that they're looking for?
Well, I don't think it's anything to do with agriculture per se. It's really to do with cost of capital. And so if you understand that a lot of these people coming out of North America and out of Europe have got near zero costs of debt, sometimes zero costs of debt, many of them are working on cost of capital of 5%, whereas we've still got institutions here looking for 15%. And so when you look at a lot of agriculture, if you look at most farming ventures, probably 50% of them are making less than 5%, and if they can get 3%, they're pretty happy. So we've got a lot of institutional money here at the moment. They're happy to sort of take that punt, but so far not much out of Australian superannuation funds.
Do you see that mix changing over the next 5-10 years?
No, not much. I think the rates of return on agriculture have been pretty steady at that sort of sub 5% level for, 50-60% of the operators. I don't see that happening very much. But if we want to attract, more foreign investment, we want to attract Australian investment, they're going to have to work smarter and farm differently, And if you look at, say, some of the stuff, take what Brett Blundy's doing on Beetaloo Station, he's taken a property that's been around for 100 years, he's put $60 million of water into the place, and he's taken it from 20,000 head to 100,000 head, and he's looking for another 30 to put on it. So there are ways of becoming more productive and increasing returns, and that's just one small one. I can give you many more.
But is it just about that, the small getting bigger, and or if you're not prepared to get bigger, getting out?
No, I don't think it's even a matter of size. I think it's just a matter of efficiency and more productivity. In fact, I can make a pretty good case for staying small and having a sort of more luxury product, if you like, and trying to bleed that sort of demand curve for luxury products offshore. But it's more about getting more productive with the same piece of land. There's too many farmers been sort of pushing around the same 20,000 head for 100 years, around from paddock to paddock. Somebody like a guy who's had bras and things comes in, suddenly you're up at 120,000 head and on his way to 200,000 head. So, can you double production on some property? Yeah, absolutely. And there's lots of pretty interesting things happening around the country, including in the top end.
I was going to say, when you say double production, there's a lot of drought-affected Queensland producers who would say, we'd love to. We just can't.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think maybe you can, maybe you can't. But, if I was a farmer in the Channel Country and I'm saying to myself, what's standing in between me and making a good return? If the answer to that is water, then let's have a look at water and what we should be doing. So if you look at what, say, the feds and the state have done in the Midlands of Tasmania, put $350 million into a new water scheme down there that's opened up, 20 kilometres south of Lawnie, 20 kilometres north of Hobart, opened up 36,000 hectares that for 250 years has just been fat lambs and sheep. Now you've got berries down there from Frank's Corister, raspberries, blueberries, you've got dairy startups, you've got poppies for morphine, so it's just transforming the landscape,
So then for any cattle producer who's listening, how can they make that switch from being a price taker, which they so often are, to being a price maker, to being that person really in control of their own destiny?
Well, I think that's another question, and one of the problems at the moment is a lot of farmers just see themselves as producing and then they're just going to take the price. And we're in a position now for the next 2 or 3 years where people like Coles, McDonald's, Simplot are really going to have trouble getting enough meat. And so this is the time to start forming relationships and think more about who you're actually selling to and form some of those relationships now. Because Coles, the head of Coles Meat, is here today, Alistair Watson, great guy, and they want to now form some of these relationships so that they know they can actually get the animals when they need them 365 days of the year.